I'll go ahead and read our theme verse while we're getting the rest of the books. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is the theme verse for the entire series. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Well, it should be on the screen. I'll just read off the screen.
Oh, yes. You ready? Let's say it together. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Do not conform to this world, but be transformed. All right. Any more? Raise your hand. Nice and high. Jill's got some more books there. Any more? Okay. As I said last week, you will either be conformed or you will be transformed. Conforming has to do with your behavior. It's something we do. It's something that is imposed on us from the outside in. It's when we're mimicking or imitating or being like the world or what we think others want us to be. Transforming has to do with our very character from the inside out. It's what God wants to do inside us. So what I want us to do during this series is I want every one of us to be open to the Holy Spirit to transform us and be different and change from within. If you find yourself saying, I'm fine the way I am, I've got everything together, I don't need to change, I'm good, I'm fine. If you find yourself saying that, I'd like you to take another look and ask God to make sure He's fine with you as well. Because as believers, when we become a believer, God wants to transform us and change us. And it's a period of transformation or sanctification that takes all of our lives. And we need to be continually transformed into His image. None of us are there yet. So I want us to be open to the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. We're looking over the next, now 6 weeks, at God's plan to transform us in 7 key areas of our lives. And these cover pretty much everything that we do. Last week we looked at our spiritual health. During these 7 weeks, we're asking that God would we would allow God and His Word to renew our minds and change the way we think about our lives. Now you can see on the next slide, we've got the things that we're dealing with. We've got the workbook that you have in your hands, and the notes for today's message can be found on page 32 and 33. So today's message and Sunday morning message, if you want to take sermon notes, you can put it right here. This begins the week, page 32 and 33, and put your copious notes here and all the great illustrations and the amazing insights that you hear from the preacher, you can put here on this page. Then the next page starts what you do in your small groups. So when you go to your small group, you'll be having a memory verse and you'll be answering these questions while the narrator, the guy's on the screen, giving the message on the DVD. And then you will talk about and discuss the things that you heard in your small group. Now, the small group is really important. The small group is important because it's one thing to sit here and listen. It's another thing to talk about with other believers and find out what they have to say and let them speak into your lives. And also in the small group, you'll be learning your memory verse. Last week's memory verse was 2 Corinthians 5:17. Does anyone know it? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone want to try it? Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person or a new creature. Very good. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. I learned it. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's how I learned it. Because when I grew up, all we had was the King James Bible. And that's all I learned. But you can learn it this way. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation or a new person. This week's memory verse is 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It's found in your bulletin and you can look at it. And then finally, after the small group, there's a daily devotional that you can read. Today, in our group, we started last Sunday was day one. So we had day one, two, three, four, five, six, and yesterday was day seven. And today is day eight. And we keep on going. It's like clockwork every day. It's a one little page devotional, and you can take a look at it. All right? That's on page 44 is when day eight starts, one for every day. Participate as much as you can. A lot of us are busy. We got lives that are just crazy. You miss a day or two, that's all right. You can't go to a small group or whatever. But please, to the extent that you are able and willing, please participate as much as you can, and especially be open to the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit, okay? So that He can work in your life. God, I pray right now that You would help us to put into practice the things that we're learning in this series. Especially, Lord, I pray that You would help us to unhand and unbind the things in our lives that we are holding on to that You want to affect. I pray that if we are holding on to something, maybe it's a habit, maybe it's a belief, maybe it's a sin, maybe it's an area of our life that we haven't given over to You. I pray if that's the case that You would help us to unclench our fists and our hands on those areas and allow You to clean and sanctify us and make us holy. I pray that even in the areas that we're going to be talking about today, like physical health, and then the next weeks like emotional health and mental health, that You would again help us to be receptive to Your leading and Your changing force and Your changing hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're looking at key area number two, physical health. Last week it was our spiritual health. This week we're looking at our physical health. Last week we looked at one of the famous texts of the Bible, the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15. Remember the prodigal son? The guy who left, came back, and we looked at ways that we can come closer to the Lord. Today we're also going to look at one of the most famous texts in the Bible, and it's going to be Psalm 23. But you may ask, why are we talking about our physical health in a series like this? After all, it's our spirits and our souls. It's our life with God that needs to be renewed, right? I mean, that's the only thing that matters. Our minds need to be renewed. Our spirits and soul belong to God. But what's this talk about our physical health? Well, what I'm going to talk about today is just as God wants us to take care of our spiritual health, He also expects us to manage our bodies, our physical health as well. And there are two reasons for this, and I'm going to give them. One is scriptural, and one is practical. First of all, scripturally, why talk about physical health? The Bible has a lot to say about our bodies. Did you know that? The Bible has a lot to say about our physical bodies. Today's verse, memory verse in 1 Corinthians 6. Your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So honor God with your bodies. The Bible doesn't say your spirit is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say your mind is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. 3 John 1:2 says, Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well also with your soul. John said right there, 3 John, I pray that you would have good health as it is also going well with your soul. Jesus went around forgiving people, but He also went around healing people of their physical infirmities and diseases. And did you know that at one point, Paul the Apostle in the Bible gave his son in the faith, Timothy, advice for his upset stomach? Yes. He gave him a prescription for his stomach problems that he was having. And finally, 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but is meant for the Lord. Your body is meant for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Our bodies are God's property. My body isn't me in the strictest sense, but it houses me and it houses the Holy Spirit. So biblically, we need to care about our physical health and our physical bodies. And also have a practical reason. Our physical health affects how we think and how we act and how we get along with each other. When you're hungry, I don't know, when I'm hungry, I get more irritable than I already am. I do. Some people call it hangry. Hangry. You get irritable when you're hungry. Your blood sugar is wrong. There are health conditions, hormones, blood sugar that affect our behavior and our moods. Chronic conditions like pain or sickness or disability affects how we live and how we serve God, and we need to understand how that can affect even our spiritual lives. Some of us here have chronic conditions, chronic pain, chronic weakness, that those of us who don't have it, it's a little hard for us to understand what they're going through. And that can affect our mood and even cause us to be discouraged or even depressed. So how we feel in our bodies can affect how we serve God and His kingdom. So I think it's important for as much as we can to be as physically healthy as possible so that we can accomplish more for God's kingdom. So that's the practical reason. In our groups this week, we're going to learn how our health matters to God and taking care of our physical bodies as a spiritual discipline. So I'm not going to go over that, all those things today. We're going to talk about it in our groups, how to manage our physical health the way we manage our spiritual health. So I'll leave it to the groups for that. But I also want to close this little section by saying there are some people, and the Gnostics were part of this Gnostic heresy of the early, about 2,000 years ago. Some people put most or all of their emphasis on their mind and their spirit and neglect the physical world. In fact, there is a heresy called Gnosticism. One of the beliefs of Gnosticism is that the material world is evil. That the physical world is evil and belongs to the devil. And it's wrong and it's bad and it's sinful, including our bodies. In fact, the Gnostics believed that Jesus could not have come in the flesh. That's impossible. The material world is evil and Jesus would never have done that. That was a phantom. That was an image. That was a hologram. And so the physical world is to be shunned, ignored, and hated. But orthodoxy says that creation, the physical world, is good and beautiful. Though creation has fallen, though men and women are fallen, we're not totally corrupt. There is still good in the universe. And Jesus then came into the world to fix it and to redeem it and purify it, including our bodies. And one day, the physical world and our bodies will be glorified and made whole and made right. It's going to be made perfect. So don't fall for that heresy. Our physical bodies are important. And if our body doesn't function well, there's not much we can do in this world. There's lots we can do to optimize our physical health. Just last week, I took an assessment with our insurance company. I got online and we have to answer these questions. You know, how many servings of fruits and vegetables you have per day? How much exercise do you get? Does your heart rate go so? You know, what's your cholesterol? Yeah, and you have to answer all these questions. And if you do, you get a bonus and all this kind of stuff. And it's trying to make sure that we have a good physical health before something bad happens. And that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to learn to eat right, to exercise, to sleep, check, you know, watch your weight, watch your blood pressure. Improving in these areas is good, and we should. And I could even have a sermon on these. But today, I want to focus and concentrate on one area of our lives that affects our health and our physical health. And it's mentioned a lot in the Bible, and it's one word. It's the word stress. Stress. In fact, before we Let's all, let's breathe in. And breathe out. Relax our shoulders. Stress. The Bible talks about stress and anxiety. And I've already mentioned it today in our prayer. Stress and anxiety can take a tremendous toll on our health and on our bodies. Worrying about problems, stressing out about situations, worrying about past decisions, stressing out about our needs, the hurry of our life, the pace of our lives, people, interactions with people, relationships, fear of the future, fear of what happened in the past. When I'm anxious, and I get anxious sort of easily, I get nervous about things. When I'm worried, when I'm stressed, it affects us physically. It wasn't too long ago I was worried about something, and when, it bothers me a lot at night. You're trying to go to sleep, and then you start thinking, you have these movies in your head, and you start thinking, and you get stressed out about it. And just the other day, my heart began to beat really hard and really fast. It was like boom, 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 like that, and I was stressed out. I was anxious. I couldn't get to sleep. The stress and anxiety I was thinking about manifested itself in my body. When we're anxious and stressed, we lose sleep. We get headaches. Makes us irritable. We may even get sick, nervous, tight. Our mind is racing. We make bad decisions. So reducing stress and worry is one way to improve our physical health. And since the Bible talks about stress so much, that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to read a famous psalm. Psalm 23. This psalm contains antidotes for stress, which can help us reduce its toll on our bodies. Have you ever been stressful and anxious and you just get real tight? And I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I have stress, it affects me physically. I get nervous. I pace. I begin scratching my arms for no apparent reason. I scratch my head. It affects me physically. And so reducing the stress biblically is important. Now, I have a disclaimer before I read Psalm 23. We're going to be talking about common, everyday life stresses, anxiety and worry. There are anxiety disorders and illnesses that require professional attention. I'm not talking about those today. I'm not qualified to deal with those things. I'm talking about regular, everyday stresses things that we can do to lower our stress level and have better physical health because of that. There are disorders that are physical disorders that anxiety disorders that I don't know a lot about. That's not what I'm talking about. There are people that can help us with those kind of things. Okay? So which that disclaimer said, I'm going to read Psalm 23. Oh, I love this psalm. You ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm contains some antidotes for stress, and I'm just going to cover them real quickly here. The first thing that we learn from Psalm 23 is I need to look to God to meet all my needs. This single change in your life will reduce a lot of stress. To what? Or to whom are you looking to meet your needs? Where are you looking to provide security in your life? To whom are you putting your trust? In whom are you putting your trust? Your job? Money? Your husband? Your wife? Don't entrust your security to something that can be taken away from you. You may lose your friends, you may lose your job, you may even lose your spouse, you may lose your reputation, but you will not lose God. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Psalm 23 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need." If you have God, you have everything you really need. Because he's our shepherd, our caretaker. So, Romans 8:32, "Since God didn't spare even his own son for us, but gave him up for us, won't he also give us everything else we need?" Stop looking at others to meet your needs. They'll let you down. Anyone ever experienced having someone let you down?
Yes.
Yes, we have. And if you've got your trust in them completely, you will stumble and fall. Psalm 25, just two psalms away, says, "In you, my Lord God, I put my trust." God will not fail you. He is faithful and true. So focus on God. Trust him to meet your needs. The second thing we learn from Psalm 23, three words: get some rest. Anyone like me? Is anyone like me and you like the Bourne Identity movies with Matt Damon? Bourne Identity, the Bourne Supremacy, and the Bourne Ultimatum.
Yes.
There's two scenes, one in the second movie and one in the third movie, where Jason Bourne is talking to Pam, and she's in the CIA office or whatever, and he's looking at her from another building, and she doesn't know that. And, he's talking, they're about to hang up, and Jason Bourne says to Pam, "Get some rest, Pam. You look tired." Remember that? It's a great scene. Get some rest. She goes, "What?" Get some rest. We're always in a hurry. There's so much to do. We got children, jobs, parents, husband, wife. Who has time to rest? And yet it's so important. I preached a sermon on this not too long ago, so I won't go too much into it. But Genesis 2 verse 2 says, "God made the seventh day holy because he rested on that day." In fact, it's so important it made the Ten Commandments. Rest. God created us with a need for sleep and rest. Nightly sleep, weekly rest. 6 days you must work, but on the seventh you must rest. Here in Psalm 23 verse 2, "He makes me to lie down." Makes me to lie down. Last Saturday, we went over to Lakeside, and it was a beautiful sunny day. Four of us, we walked out to the end of that 700-foot pier. The sun was shining. The sky was blue. We sat down, put our legs over the edge, and we laid down, put our backs down on that concrete, and we just rested. And we lay there for an hour. No care in the world. Just watching the blue sky. I actually have a picture of it. If I had thought about it, I'd put it up on the screen for us. We're just lying there, just sleeping. And I fell asleep and I kept dreaming about things. And I would wake up, and every time I wake up, some new person was there fishing or someone other. And then someone would come by and said, "Look at those people. They look like they're having a good time just resting there. Look at those. They're sleeping." It recharged and restored my soul. Just lying down. If you're not sleepy, you get a little grumpy. Take a day off. Rest. Refocus. Recharge. During this time of transformation, change your schedule. Get some rest. Third thing the Bible talks about in Psalm 23, make room for beauty. With all the daily grind, the ugliness of life stresses us out. the ugliness of people and the things people say. It stresses us out, but beauty inspires. And God created a world of beauty. Sunrise and sunset, flowers, the night sky, landscapes, visual beauty. God made it for us. Go outside and enjoy the outdoors if you can. Fresh air, exercise. This Saturday. Is it this Saturday? No. Whenever October 31st comes around, the All Creation Sings group, why don't you come out if you haven't done that for a while? 10 o'clock at Maumee State Forest, not Maumee Bay, but Maumee State Forest. It's in the bulletin. Just come out and take a walk with us in the fresh air. Or maybe just go out in your backyard or walk around the block or whatever. Get in touch with God's beauty. Or maybe just listen to some music or do some crafts or something. Make room for beauty in your life. Maybe during this time of transformation, transform your schedule. Maybe less TV, more of God's beauty. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. There's a reason God put that in the Bible. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters. The fourth thing we can do is we can go to God for guidance. Psalm 23:3 says, He leads me along the right paths. And also Psalm 119, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's okay to ask others for help, for guidance. Accept godly counsel from people, but don't forget to make God your number one source for guidance. Read and study God's word. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through it. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask God for it, who gives it liberally. Go to God for guidance. He will lead you along the paths of righteousness. The fifth thing that we can learn to reduce stress in our life and therefore have a better physical health is trust God in the dark valleys. Let's face it, sometimes we all go through dark times. We had a series earlier this year called Into the Wilderness. We experience valleys of loss, grief, and death. But according to Psalm 23, verse 4, You are with me. You comfort me, even though I walk through dark valleys. Your rod and your staff of protection, they comfort me. We may experience grief, but not unmitigated fear. We may experience sorrow, but not desperation. God wants to walk with you through your dark valleys. Trust God in those dark valleys. Even if you're not aware of His presence, He's there. That's His promise. Then let God be your defense or your defender. Another source of stress in life is conflict. Those who oppose us, those who don't like us, those who hate us. Opposition, criticism, attacks, maybe at work, maybe at school, maybe even in your family. But verse 5 says, You let me eat in the presence of my enemies. You let me relax and eat, even in the presence of my enemies. Why? Because God is our defender. Jesus said in Matthew 5, Blessed are you when people may revile and persecute you and accuse you falsely, and rejoice and be exceedingly glad, even when you're opposed. When God is your defender, you can sit down and eat in quietness and confidence because He is your strength. And lastly, realize God is with me now and forever. Verse 6, Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. God is with us now and to the end. I can trust my life to Him. I can trust my future to Him. And then it says, His goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell or live in His place, in His home, in His presence forever. I can trust that He will be with me and never forsake me, and I will go to heaven. He's with us. Keeping these, there were seven things that I mentioned. Keeping these in mind can lower our stress and help us to have better health and help us to serve God better. God does not want us to have stress and anxiety. Slow down Rest, exercise. Let God handle some of your worries and your cares. And we're going to close with one of my favorite verses in the Bible. We're going to come to this again when we talk about our emotional health. Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you" what? "Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find" what? "Rest for your souls." Jesus is saying, "I'm going to pull your load with you. Take my yoke upon you. Come to me." In a few minutes, Amy's going to sing the song. Lay all your burdens on him. Come to me, and I will give you rest. 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares for you. I'm going to pray. Lord, many here are tired and worn, anxious from stress and anxieties of modern living. Some here are anxious with worry, even sick with worry and stress, and affects their bodies. Others are here with physical issues that make it difficult to function in everyday life. Please bring rest, relief, and healing to those here who are stressed and anxious and even sick with worry. I pray that you would help us to come to you as we are and find rest in our souls. May it be so in every one of us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.